It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. Yeah, squirrel flower.
Yeah, you did a better job.
I was practicing while you were saying it, but hey, nice restful music.
It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, we've got some quite nice topics to talk to you about this morning. We're talking about Mahurangi Park getting some new land, which means we've got a bit more access to the coast around there. We're also talking about electric buses finally making their way to Auckland, and a wee bit about APEC as well. So let's start with Mahurangi, because that's a really nice summer story there. What's going on with that? Have we got new access to beaches?
Yeah, well, look, it's a big purchase by Auckland Council, total just under $12 million, but nearly half of that comes from a couple of trusts, the John Turnbull and Margaret Turnbull Trusts. 95 hectares of beautiful land with the coast on both sides, and giving access to an existing regional park that you could only get to by water, so most Aucklanders couldn't get to it.
Right.
So here we are. We've got 187 hectares of pristine, beautiful coastal land with inlets and hills and valleys and, you know, some historic batches on site as well. You know, really important that we create this sort of legacy for future generations of Aucklanders. As our city grows, we're going to need more and more public open space, and this is a great addition. You know, this we've got to make sure that instead of all of our coastal land being just subdivided and developed, that we keep the most pristine areas undeveloped and available for the sort of regional park experiences that 2 million Aucklanders will be looking for in just a few years' time.
Exactly. I've got to say, I do love Mahurangi. It's one of my favourite beaches to go afternoon mission out to. Will this be managed by DOC? Will it be managed by the Auckland Council?
No, be managed by the Auckland Council, and as I say, it's a big area, and it came up as an opportunity, a private land sale, and I had great delight when we launched the other day in unscrewing the notice that said private property, no access. So as of Valentine's Day, access to the public right across the 187 hectares, but we won't have we've got a road track in there, but we've got to spend some money, obviously, in terms of facilities like fencing, signage, toilets, access roads, before the parkland can be formally open to the public. But, you know, absolutely, those things will be in place, hopefully by next summer. And if you don't know Mahurangi Peninsula, and you're in Auckland up, it's not too far to get up there, just, I don't know, just over an hour's drive, I think, from the centre of the city, and a beautiful area to relax. We'll try and open a campground there, I think, in due course.
Awesome.
Because, you know, we want to give Aucklanders the chance to do things that past generations have had, because we've had lots of public open space for a small population. Now we're getting a big population. We need more public open space.
Totally.
So this is one of this has been one of our biggest acquisitions in recent years, and a beautiful place for it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about buses. We have heard that Auckland buses are going to go electric, hopefully starting at the end of this year. What's the updates with this, Phil?
Yeah, well, it's the CityLink buses. There's a dozen of them, and by the end of the year, we'll have replaced the diesel buses with 12 new electric buses.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important? Well, for a start, 1.6 million customers using those buses each year will know that they're travelling on a bus that's fuelled sustainably and non-polluting. We know that the worst area in New Zealand probably for black carbon pollution is the Queen Street Valley, and taking those diesel buses off that route from right down from Key Street right up to Kay Road means that we address the pollution problem, we address the problem of carbon emissions, and you know, ultimately we've got to replace the whole of our diesel fleet. They produce 93,000 tonnes of CO2 each year.
Far out.
So where have we started? We've started with the Queen Street Valley, and we've also started with Waiheke Island. And most of the buses on Waiheke Island are being converted to electric this year. And that's partly because that solves the problem of having to cart fuel across to the island, which is expensive, and Waiheke Islanders are very environmentally conscious, and they're welcoming the fact that they won't have that CO2 pollution either. So, I mean, really, really good news.
Yeah.
By 2025, I've committed Auckland to not purchasing any carbon emitting buses, but I'd really love to bring that forward. And I'm encouraging government, are you listening to me at the moment? If they bring in a fee bait similar to what they bought for electric cars, mm-hmm. we could bring forward that conversion. I mean, electric buses are twice as expensive as diesel buses, but they cost half as much to run. So over the lifetime of the bus, you pay for the extra capital cost, but you do so, most importantly, without polluting and without creating carbon emissions. And we really need to do that.
With the electric buses, as you're saying, 2025 is the timeline so far for not purchasing any more carbon-emitting buses. But what about replacing the ones we've already got with electric buses? What is the timeline for that? Is it similar or...?
What will happen is that the bus will normally go through its 19-year life, mm-hmm. and as it's replaced, it will be replaced with an electric bus. Now, that means if we're still purchasing diesel buses as we are at the moment, we're stuck with them probably for another 20 years.
Right.
What we really want to do is bring forward the date when we cease to purchase diesel buses at mm-hmm. all. Now, I signed up to that in Paris 2 years ago, one of the first 13 cities in the world to do so. We are taking it seriously. I do want to do that. We've got studies going on at the moment between Auckland Transport and Vector, which will explore the service profile model, the electricity demand that a fully electrified bus fleet will require. It also looks at the electricity network infrastructure upgrades that we'll need at the bus depot. So
right.
there's some costs involved there as well. We have been trialling. We started the trial 2 years ago, and we're also looking at trialling hydrogen buses, which obviously have a longer range. And when Ports of Auckland develop their hydrogen plant on the waterfront, then we'll have a place where we can fuel a trial bus and see how that goes as well.
Well, so, that's all sounding quite exciting then for future
plans. Yeah,
it's
really good news for, you know, cleaning up our city from pollution and from carbon emissions. So we want to get on to it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about APEC now. Of course, the APEC conference would have been in the Sky City Convention Centre before the fire that we saw at the end of last year. What's happening now? Are we still hosting it in Auckland?
Absolutely, we're still hosting it in Auckland, and the PM confirmed that to me at the end of last week. Look, it's obviously disappointing we haven't got the International Convention Centre available. It was, brand new, would have been totally fit for purpose, but I'm not surprised. I think I said from the moment of the fire, it would be a very much an outside chance to get the convention centre now completed in time.
Mm-hmm.
So the council and the government have always had a plan B, an alternative model. There's some degree of commercial negotiations going on around that at the moment, but we will have a venue. It will do the trick. We will run a successful APEC. We've got 10,000 people, I think, coming for Leaders Week mm-hmm. from the 8th to the 14th of November next year, which means that, probably it'll run from the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so it won't be too inconvenient for travel plans for Aucklanders. But we may find that, council staff work from home on the Friday, and that takes some thousands of people out of the city centre. The universities will have risen for the year, so there'll be a degree of disruption. But while we'll be showcasing our city to the world,
mm-hmm.
we'll have the top world leaders attending that, and what we've been doing is we've been a huge building program for hotels. We've been adding 1,000 rooms a year, close to, and so that means that we're well set up to cater for that peak demand. It's just that we won't have the International Convention Centre
that looks likely now
to be 2022.
Right, I see. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always a pleasure
Rachel,
to chat to
pleasure.
You. Cheers.
Okay.
We'll speak to you again next Tuesday.
Look forward to it.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.